It's to impact people through your words, through your testimony, through your life being changed. And people see that, if it's real or not. And I believe that that we're on the path for God to just change us, people around us. And that's what we're praying on Tuesday nights. And we'll continue to pray. And if you need prayer and you want to be a part of that team that just prays, and we do a little bit of fellowship and a little bit of Bible study, but Tuesday nights at 7, and we're meeting in the church, and it's just prayer. I believe in prayer. Prayer changes things. Amen. Amen. Well, as we get ready to get into the Word this morning, let me welcome a few people. If you'll just raise your hands, and we'll welcome you today. Jessica Rogelio, there you are, raise your hands. Praise the Lord. Welcome. I pray you feel welcomed, and I pray that you continue to come and watch God do amazing things in your life. He's done it. Amen? Has He done it in your life? Amen. And one day at a time. Praise the Lord. And I have John Watland. Would you raise your hand? Okay. Hey, John. Let's welcome him. Samantha has invited him, which is, as you all know, related to Mary and Terry, and who helped with the CDs and stuff. So welcome, John. I pray you feel welcome then. And I'm not sure I can pronounce it. Demesio, Ida, raise your hand. Hi. And is it Ademina? Hi, Ademina. I pray you feel welcome. Thank you for coming and joining us today. And I pray that we all seek more of God in our lives. Amen. Keep Jesus close. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was going to do this at the end, but I think I'll do it now so I don't forget. I'm going to ask, is Joseph here in the room somewhere? Okay, he went to Sunday school. He'll be back, I hope. Okay, then we'll wait. I hope. Praise the Lord. You turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Keep Jesus close. In 2016, we've been studying that, and we're going to study that. And you know, I was thinking about that. I've heard this phrase before, and I've said it before probably, and I'm saying, well, you know what? I'm changing my mind on that. Anybody's ever changed their mind? Yeah. You know, I've always heard this phrase or repeated this phrase that God wants to know you. That's true. But I started thinking about it. God already knows me. Amen? I think what we really are trying to do in our relationship with God is to get to know God and His character and who He is. And as I was thinking about this, you know, keeping Jesus close, in order to keep somebody close, you got to get to know who they are. You got to trust, right? You have to have faith. You have to, you know, you've seen that little skit where, do you have faith? And the example they use is they ask two people to come forward, and they say, you fall back and you catch him. And depending on their relationship, they might not do it. Right? Because the person knows the one behind them is a jokester and would love to see them fall. Amen? Or you may know somebody who would never do something like that, and they'll catch you every time. Get to know people. And I started thinking about this, and if the Lord wills it, we're going to do a series about God's character. It's important that the church know God's character. Who He is. He's an amazing, loving God. And God's character, as we get ready for Easter, where His character is revealed on the cross for us all. His love, His passion. And we're going to head down that journey. And today I wanted the title of this, as Pastor Frank said last week, this sharing time. He didn't like to say sermon or preaching. The title of this sermon time or preaching is Intentional relationship. How many of you know that in order to have a relationship, you have to intentionally work at it? How many people are in love with Jesus today? Amen? It's good to see so many families that coming to church together. And even when times get tough, you continue to put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ. He'll see us through. Joy comes in the morning. And God has a tremendous plan for you, your family, and yes, this little church. Next week, on Saturday morning, the food bank will go and feed thousands of people. And we are a part of that as a church. We'll be there at 7 a.m. Saturday morning, and everyone's more than welcome. And even if we have enough workers, you can hang back and supervise with me. That'd be nice, right? But if not, you'll be working, so don't get too excited. And as you all know, Pastor Green and Kathleen have built, well, God has built it. And they have been the instruments that God has used to feed the hungry. And isn't that what Jesus calls us to do? He does. So I get excited and I see that you're growing. I see your family. I see your passion. And even in this little church can impact a whole community like that. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep Jesus close in 2016. He's all we've ever needed. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. We've read this scripture before, and I'm sure you've heard it. But all in the contents and concept of relationship. God does know us. We have to go find out who God is. We got to seek after Him. And in this passage, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, let's read together. The angel of the church of Ephesus, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith, He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hath found them liars. So God in this passage is speaking to a certain people. A certain people that they have a passion for God to do what is right. They even were wise enough to know, these people were wise enough to know when a hypocrite would come through the door and they would test them. And that's not of God. That's not God's character. So these were not baby Christians, so to speak. It says that they tried them, which are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and has born and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. It even says that these people labored in the work and they never fainted and they kept on going on. They were working in the kingdom. They were doing the work. They worked hard. They had patience. And they didn't like evil. But then God says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. If you think about this in terms of relationship, there's no doubt in my mind, because personally I've experienced putting God second and putting God third, and every time it's wilderness, it's emptiness, it's lost. And God is telling these people, I know you love God. I know that you're wise, but I don't want to be second. You left your first love. The reason you were created was to be in fellowship with God in the person of Jesus Christ through the leading of the Holy Spirit. You were created to put God first in your life. And you will notice that when you don't do that, things get confusing. There's no peace. So this morning, He's reminding us Nevertheless, I have something against thee, but thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from hence whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of God. So as we read this passage, we get a sense that God is a jealous God. And in the Old Testament, that is clear. He says, I am a jealous God. He wants us to put him first. And this morning, an intentional relationship. In order for God to be first in your life, you have to intentionally work at that. I know there's one thing over the 23 years that Pastor Green preached in this church, and I heard over and over and over, is read your Bible and pray every day. Over to the point where it was annoying, right? But it was true. It was the truth. Sometimes the truth is annoying, isn't it? But praise God for people who are willing to speak the truth. It's an intentional walk. I believe in this church that we are a group of people that are passionate to put God first, who want to return to our first love with passion. By the leading of the Holy Spirit, He's drawing His people back to Him. He's drawing you. He's drawing you. Be in church. Be in His presence. Go where He is. Be where He is. Don't miss. Because you don't want to put Him second. That's why you're here this morning. Because you've made a decision that as for you and your house and your life, that you have decided that you're going to intentionally put God first. And I believe that that's who you are. I believe that's the journey that you're on. And I believe that as we do this and we return to our first love with passion, there's real power in there. There's real power in a person who says, no matter what, pushing every hindrance aside, I'm going to be intentional. And I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not talking about making all the right decisions. I'm talking about being intentional about having your first love, the reason you were created, first in your life. Be intentional about it. When we return to our first love, there's power there. When we read our Bibles, when we pray every day, there's real power there. Not power to get whatever we want. See, sometimes we get confused, right? We think that when we put God first, we all of a sudden we'll get everything we want. Okay, that's not God's character. God's character is not about getting whatever we want. God's character is about building us to love, to care, to meet needs, and then watching Him do miracles, signs and wonders in your life. And He will take care of you. He will take care of you. Believe that all things are possible. He will make a way for your finances. He will make a way for the trials and tribulations in your life. He will make a way. Just do not. There's a scripture that says, do not be weary in well doing. In due time, you'll see the breakthroughs. And many of you have experienced that. You held on, and then there was a breakthrough. And you rejoiced. And of course, there comes another trial, and you know you got to hold on and believe all things are possible. So there's power in that, in a daily relationship, in an intentional relationship. Not power to get whatever you want, but power to forgive. Power to care. Power to serve. Power to impact someone's life. See, these are the things that are eternal. The things of this world are temporary. But the power to impact somebody's life is eternal. You know, when you buy that new car and you get excited and it's great, But when you die, when you go to heaven, you'll never even remember that car. But when you speak words of a life, because you have a walk with Him, and someone listens to your words and says, I believe, or I want what they have. And when you get to heaven, everyone will remember. The power of eternal life and the power you have to impact somebody's life. There's power in being and having an intentional relationship. And there's also power to love your enemies. You definitely need power to do that. Amen. That's one of the hardest things to do. Power to overcome anger, sin, letting things just stress you out to the point where you're not functional. Power to overcome sin, power to be used as God's ambassador, however God chooses to use you and me. So as you see, the power that's in this relationship, in this intentional walk, in this first love commitment, the power that is in that is not power to get what we want. It's power to impact the kingdom of God. And when we get passionate about that, then you start having peace and joy that passes all understanding, because you're seeing a bigger picture. You're seeing it's a kingdom purpose. You're not seeing it's a worldly purpose. And that takes maturity, takes growth. So return to your first love. So this church in Revelations, they were doing everything right except for one thing. They forgot why they were doing it. Because Jesus, He died. And He's worth it. Amen? He's worth it. So if you turn to John 15, chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. 15, chapter 1. 1 through 5. An intentional relationship. Keep Jesus close. Jesus said very clearly, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. When you have a vine and you got branches growing off of that vine, if there's a dead branch, you just cut it off, but the vine is still good. And more branches will grow and other things will become healthy on that vine. And Jesus is the vine. He's always good. He's always good. And Jesus wants to use this representation. I am the vine. I am the source of everything in your life. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So you get the visual that Jesus is divine, and branches are growing and fruits are being produced. And if you're producing fruit, you have to prune it sometimes, and that hurts. Sometimes your character needs to be pruned, amen? Because we're not perfect. I don't know if you figured that out, but you're not perfect. You're on a journey to be perfected, but you're not perfect. And He prunes us sometimes, and we don't like it because it was beautiful. I produced beautiful fruit. But you know how a vine works. It needs to be pruned. And when it's pruned and He begins to change our character because we're going through trials and tribulations, it's all good. Learn to love it. Amen? Because you trust Him, right? And because we trust Him, even the pruning is good. And He prunes. Now, when you die, the branch is dead, it just gets cut off. So I won't go into that scripture today or that concept, but you can take that yourself. Let's just put it this way. I don't want to be the branch that's not producing fruit that gets cut. I want to be pruned, not cut. Amen? Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Now here's where you get this visual of a relationship. An intimate, relationship. When we say keep Jesus close, the vine is probably a good representation. Keep Jesus close. Stay connected to the vine. Go be intentional in learning what God's character, who He is. Because I am convinced, oh, I'm sure He already knows who you are. Because He created you. But you're on a journey. Get to know who God is. He's good. He's a good God. And He says, abide in me and I in you. You know, if you've gone through this Christian journey and you've gone through moments of time when they use the word backslidden or lukewarm or gone astray. You've been going through moments in your life where maybe that's happened to you. Or maybe you're in that moment now. And you're in church today and the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart and saying, I'm not giving up on you. Amen? The evidence that He has not given up on you is that you still breathe. Because if He was done, you'd be gone. Doesn't matter what your age is. As long as we have breath, He's got a plan for you. And the plan is not to be second, put Jesus second. And until we put Him first, you're going to fight and battle and go through stuff. And you're not going to feel peace. And you're not going to have joy until you get on your knees and say, I give up. Take it. That's the truth. And I'm telling you from personal experience, it's not pleasant putting God second. It's empty. But He hasn't given up. He's a merciful God. And there's no sin that you've committed that He did not die for and can be thrown into the sea of forgetful, the sea of forget everything. That's how much He loves us. So if you've been that person, astray, lukewarm, or maybe you're there today, I can guarantee you that the root cause of that has been you haven't been connected to the vine. How do you stay connected to the vine? It's the same way that you establish a relationship here on earth. Communication. You have to communicate through reading of the Word, through prayer, through being in church. This morning, some of you who came in to ready to worship had communication with your God. Amen? His presence is here, and you worshiped Him. And that's a form of communication. If there's one thing, if you go to a psychiatrist or marriage counselor, the very first thing they're going to go hit is what? Communication. Lack of communication. It's our Heavenly Father. First love. Intentional relationship. Communication. Communication. So He says, I abide in me and I in you, and as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it abide in the vine. You know, there's too many Christians trying to produce fruit without being connected to Jesus. Amen? You know, I remember growing up, I had a neighbor that was growing oranges. Right? My sister knows who that neighbor is because they were on our right side, just hint, hint. And they were growing oranges, but there was something wrong with those oranges. Every time I had one, they were sour. And I was like, what's the use of taking up space with an orange tree here if they're sour? You know, they weren't grafted. You know how you have to graft? The vine was rot, was bad. And you know, when we have Christians trying to produce fruit or portray religiosity or portray how good they are and they're connected to that sour vine, it produces sourness. Amen? And my prayer, my hope, this morning is that I'm pointing you that when I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ, He's the only vine that's pure and right. Amen. That you're catching on to that. and that you know, hey, if I don't want to play this church, if I don't want to be lukewarm, if I don't want to be that Christian that's wandering in the wilderness, wondering where my peace is or where my joy is, then you have an answer this morning, and I believe the Holy Spirit will show you in your heart. It's about being intentional to connect to this vine. It's Jesus. It's His character. It's who He is. And when you struggle and you have a daily life and you're tired and you're working, and Pastor Green said this one time at a meeting when we're with leaders. He says, you can't be too busy that you don't have time for God. You can't, it's not right. You need to stop and reanalyze your life and say, I need time to be connected to the vine. Amen? Because you will produce fruit. The sweet kind, not the sour kind. Be connected to the vine. So he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. Amen. You know, we're trying to do something. All of you are doing something. The question is, as you're doing something, are you connected to the vine? Are you intentional about your relationship? Are you hungering and thirsting for Him, for righteousness? So returning to a passion for righteousness will lead us to be connected to the vine. This is what I mean by keep Jesus close in 2016. Stay connected to the vine. He is the only way. When we hold on to Jesus, I can guarantee you all is well. It doesn't matter what you see with your eyes. When Jesus is first, all is well. Amen? Because we're saved. We're free. We're right standing before the Creator of the universe. All is well. All is well. And this world is not our home. For those of us who have lost loved ones, all is well. Amen? We will all come together. God's a good God. Be faithful and believe. All is well. And many of you who maybe weren't sure, you know, if your loved one was saved or not saved, trust your God. All is well. You don't know, they may have had a secret conversation with God. They didn't want to tell you. Trust God. Trust God. Just be Jesus here on earth. That may be the only time someone, your spouse or a loved one, or that may be the only time they see Jesus by your character and because you're changed. And that may be all they need to have that little private talk maybe one day. Trust God. Trust God. When we hold on to Jesus, all is well. There's peace in the storm. There's hope through trials. God will bring victory out of what seems like defeat. How do I know? Because over and over and over, we read in Scripture that Lazarus, from death to life. Jesus, from death to life. And many of us sit here this morning, once dead, and now we live. God is a God that brings life out of death. Be connected. Last scripture, Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. If that scripture doesn't convict every one of us in this room, then you don't have your heart open. Amen? Jesus tells it like it is. He knows who are His. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Didn't we pray for people? Didn't that person get healed through all the wonderful works that I did in verse 23? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Relationship. Does Jesus know you? He knows who you are because he created you. But what the point he's making is, you never talk to me. Communication. So when you meet somebody from 10 years ago, and it's the only time you met that person, 10 years later, comes back and says, hey, do you know such and such? And you'll be like, oh, gosh, I don't know. There's a memory back there somewhere, but make sure that you and Jesus are not that. Make sure you and him have a relationship. Have a relationship. I'm going to ask Michelle to come. They may not remember you after 10 years. When's the last time you got on your knees at home and said, God, I love you.